G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, December 12. I'm John Barker, back in town joining Joel Marshall and Carl Diorio for a massive weekend of racing around not only Australia but indeed Southeast Asia with Hong Kong. Well, it's actually probably not Southeast Asia, probably Northern Asia, but Hong Kong. It's a big day, Hong Kong's big day, the international races on Sunday, which we will get to, but before then, there's a massive weekend around Australia, led, I guess, by the meeting at Royal Randwick for the Inglis Villiers Stakes, one of the three big time-honoured Randwick miles. And Joel, it's a classic renewal of this race with 20 to face the starter.
Yeah, really good Villiers this year, tracking plenty of interest. I think it's a wide open race and got to look for value if you're going to play. A number of the leading chances have come up with wide barriers, which also makes it very interesting. But yeah, really good race this year, I think.
Carl, Chris Waller has got telepathic in the race, dropping back from 2,000 metres and has in fact won the Doncaster and the Epsom with horses following that plan, dropping back from 2,000 to 1,600. Do you think he can do it again?
Short answer, no, but it's a possibility. Certainly she's got enough ability to win the race. Just never like horses dropping back 400 metres in trip, and the only time telepathic dropped back in distance in her career was when she went from the 1,900 metres of the Epona into the mile of the Queen of the Turf, and she finished a distant last. So perhaps she might have had enough, and the wet track and all those other factors, and I guess the Villiers is slightly easier, but no, I've gone elsewhere for the winner on the weekend.
All right, well, we'll get to the Villiers very soon. We'll take you through the feature racing at Randwick on Saturday, and we'll start with race three, the Inglis Nursery. This is restricted to Inglis horses. It's worth $500,000, and there's four last start winners there, all undefeated, and there's a number of first starters there as well, Joel, and I've got a feeling you're going for one of the ones we haven't seen yet.
I have got one that has raced on top, actually. I've gone for Too Fast for Love, which is number 14. We've seen him once. I've seen her once. She's a daughter of So You Think, but she's out of a horse that won a couple as a two-year-old called Becky Aroma and was placed in a silver slipper, possibly a Sweet Embrace Stakes, sorry. So she's got a bit of pedigree to be a two-year-old, and she had no luck on debut, drawn out wide. But she kept finding the line really well. Barrier 2 certainly helped. So I've got her on top of 6, Credible Witness, good at Mooney Valley on debut, has trialled nicely since. 8, Extreme Choice from the Mick Price Yard, and 4, Rampage for Paul.
Good race. Obviously, we don't know how much depth there is until, I guess, they actually have a race start. But from what we've seen in trials and of those exposed, there looks to be some really nice two-year-olds here. I've got with Extreme Choice, who's won 2 Victorian jump outs at Caulfield, and then won a trial at Rose Hill quite well on Tuesday. Jump and run type from Barrier 5, it just draws perfectly. And Glenn Schofield, who rode in the Rose Hill trial, is on again this weekend. Got to the head of number 17, Sabrinka, who, yeah, 2 Flemington jump outs were good. Again, had a Rose Hill, a Randwick trial, I should say, and ran second. It wasn't asked to do much. It looks to have a bit of ability, just sweating on the run as third emergency. 3rd, number 6, Credible Witness, who ran well on Cox Plate Day in the inferior section of the track. And 4th, number 12, Midnight Rose, who draws wider than Extreme Choice, but most likely is going to join it up on the pace.
Race 5 at Royal Randwick on Saturday is the Abbey John Contracting Christmas Cup, listed race over 2,400 metres, Joel.
Yes, my original pick is Scratch Chillin' with Dylan, which has left me with Lucky, 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 who did a reasonable job last start. He improved back on firmer ground, finishing second behind Telepathic. I think he looks ready for the 2,400 metres now. For second, number 6, Quick Strike. For third, number 5, Jaguan. And for fourth, I went for number 3, Villanova.
Jaguan, for me, this horse has won the past 2 starts. The latest was quite emphatic. Got back to last in the 6-horse field. It was a slowly run race, but she still finished over the top. And yeah, she's hitting her straps this campaign. She's always looked at a little bit of ability. She's listed placed in France as a 3-year-old filly, and she's just finding her feet now. Got her on top from 3, Villanova, who found himself in the lead last time. He's never been in that position. Perhaps run a bit more quieter can be improved on the last run. 3rd, number 2, Sir John Hawkwood. And for fourth, number six, Quick Strike.
Race six at Royal Randwick on Saturday is the second of these rich English restricted races. This is the English Sprint for three-year-olds over 1,100 metres worth $250,000-odd. And Hellbent, freshened up since the spring and fairly warmly fancied, Joel.
Yeah, I think he's the best horse in the race and I think he can win. He should have won two starts back and remained unbeaten. Then he went down to Melbourne and it wasn't too bad in the Group 1. He looks well placed under these conditions. We've got him ahead of 10, Invincible Heart, a good filly up from Victoria. 3, Bitburg, unbeaten, so hard to knock. And 4, Bring a Secret, can improve firmer ground and a few gear changes.
Hellbent on top for me as well. Won his first two starts impressively. Good thing beaten in the Brian Crowley and just in the worst grounds down the straight at Flemington. Got it on top from number 8, Lucky Fish, who had excuses at his first three starts and then resumed started this campaign at Hawkesbury, won the maiden quite nicely by 3.5 lengths. Looks to have plenty of upside, and I think Lucky Fish might just add the value into the multiples around about that $13 mark. Third, number 5, Dingo Mountain, and fourth, number 10, Invincible Heart.
Race 7 is the big one. Inglis Villiers Stakes, also worth $250,000, but this is carries the prestige. It's a Group 2. It's been around for more than 100 years. It's always been raced over this mile. And, well, a few of the fun facts I dug out researching my best bets yarn this week. Favourite has not won since 2002, so that counts against Happy Clapper. Wide middle to wideish barriers have been good. Last start winners have won 10 of the past 15, which is a fairly, to my mind, is a fairly persuasive stat. And that gives you Rhythm to Spare, Casino Dancer, Mighty Lucky, Telepathic, Happy Clapper, who we've ruled out because he's the favourite. And so that really, you're going with probably Rhythm to Spare, Mighty Lucky and Telepathic on those stats that I mentioned. Telepathic, though, dropping in distance, as I mentioned earlier, and Aqua d'Amour back in 2005 was the last horse to drop in distance and win the Villiers. Joel, I think you're taking us to a raider.
Yes, well, Victorian horse hasn't won this race for a while.
John Maher, was it? 1990? Yes. Oh, no, it'd be earlier than 1996.
But, yeah, it was 93, I think it was. Yeah, it was the John Maher. And, yes, I'm going for Puccini. He's only had the one run for the Victorian based at Darren Weir, and it was a real cracker, just a sign that Darren might be weaving, you know, his magic on another one of these horses from another stable. He sat wide and couldn't get in, kicked away and just got run down. In the dying stages by Casino Dancer, who lines up here. He's drawn wide, Puccini, that's a negative, but look, he's a very good horse, went right. Australia hasn't seen the best of him. Maybe we can now. So I'll go with him each way in a tough race. 8, Tinto, I think will improve. She always improves off her first and second up runs. 13, Telepathic in for third. And 16, Happy Clapper. He's a good horse who's had his issues. He knows how to win, and down in the weights will really help. 4, 8, 13, 16, but there are other hopes.
Sandbar for me, number 14. Made a winning debut for John Thompson first up, and then last time got back in the field and really hit the line nicely. Ran the best closing splits in the Festival Stakes. And the other five top five place getters raced prominently, one off the rail, and Zandbar came from the second half of the field, which I thought really added a lot of merit to her performance. Of course, she was runner-up in the VRC Oaks and Australian Oaks as a three-year-old filly. Was in a bit of the wilderness there for a while, but now with the new stable, John Thompson, her third trainer over her career, she looks to have been rejuvenated. So I got her on top from four, Puccini, who, as you touched on, Joel, really good run last time on debut with the Darren Weir stable. They really went hard in front, and his effort to race, you know, 3 and 4 wide outside the speed and still be there standing at the 200 was enormous. Third, number 1, It's Somewhat the top weight, and fourth, number 16, Happy Clapper, who dropped 7.5 kilos off the last start win at benchmark 85 level. For Espinol's the other danger as well. It was ridden way too cold last time. Gay Wardhouse on pacer from barrier 1. Might just give him something to run down as well. 14, 4, 1 and 16.
Last of the black type races at Royal Randwick on Saturday is race 8, the Green Options Razor Sharp Handicap, listed event over 1,200 metres, Joel?
I'll stick with Dublin Lass. She's a good mare. She's in form, and I think she's going to be very hard to beat again. Got her on top of nine, Aussies Love Sport, who's trialled quite well, as has Boss Lane, number four. And that's a good idea. He was disappointing last start. He's got a big weight, but blinkers back on. Might turn him back around 3-9-4-1.
Dublin Lass for me as well. Draws perfectly in barrier four. It was quite a nice effort down the straight at Flemington first up. On that inferior part of the track up the inside, just got nailed late by Pittsburgh Flyer, and then last time had a beautiful run in behind them and was too good. Looks to get that run again on the weekend, so I've got it on top from five, Dances on Stars, who's looked good in a couple of recent trials, particularly the latest head out, I thought worked the line nicely. His best form is good enough to win this, and with 55.5, I think can run a bit of a cheeky race around about $15. Third number 17, Private Secretary, who's the first emergency and also entered in the first race, definitely will run in the razor sharp if they get a run. And for fourth number one, that's a good idea. Blinkers back on, which should help after that last start failure when they were removed. 3, 5, 17, and 1.
All right, well, Carl, Dublin Lass was your best bet on the Randwick card. And Joel, your value bet was race 3, number 14, Too Fast for Love. Remarkably, both Joel's best and Carl's value comes up in the last, and it's the same horse. Race 9, number 11, and I speak of Heavens Above, a bit pusillanimous for you, Carl, at $5 as your value bet.
I'm surprised. I actually expected a hell of a lot more. So I'm not going to abandon ship with you, Joel. I think the horse is going to win and run a great race, but with $5, it's well and truly unders for mine.
There is depth for the race. There are a few chances. I just think she's really ready to win. But the final decision, who I was with last start and got just knocked off by Happy Clapper, is a real danger. Obviously, how well Happy Clapper runs in the Villiers could even give more merit to his form. And Sabrina and Kate Crusader in Vinsaville, there's a few chances, but no, I reckon Heavens Above third up, she just shapes really nice.
And the great thing about that race is that Kate Crusader will lead. There's a stack of pace in it. She's Heavens Above as a back marker, so hopefully they go like Scalded Cats in the lead, and she'll be the one finishing over the top.
Alrighty, well, that wraps up a big, big meeting at Royal Randwick. Gee, 130-something noms. They're finally getting some numbers there on a Saturday. That's the biggest for a long time, I would suggest, carnival days included. There's also big fields in a nine-race card at Doomben on Saturday, where there is also a fair bit of black type. There are four black type races. First of those, Joel, is race four, the HG Retail Feel and Ready Stakes, 1050 metres for the two-year-old colts and geldings, and these, like the fillies in the following race, a lot of them angling to get a place in the Magic Millions Classic next month.
Yeah, the fillies version certainly looks a lot stronger at this stage, but I'll go with Punishing in the Feel and Ready. He's drawn the outside gate. He's going to need a bit of luck, but I think on the raced ones that we've seen, he looks the best of them. 3 Sundance was very good on debut and certainly must be respected from the inside gate. I've thrown in number 8, Beyond Brave. Hasn't had any public trials, but he was bought at a horses in training sale just recently and breezed up quite well, so watch for any market moves there. And 10 Star of Pompeii, there's a few wraps on him, but he's just got to pace himself better. He can go a bit hard. 1, 3, 8, 10.
And race 5 is the Fillies Division, the Groove Train Callaway Gal Stakes. Also over 1050 metres.
Yeah, look, struggled to fit 5 into 4 here. There's sort of 5 real standout hopes. I've gone for probably the roughest one, number 7, River Racer. I really liked her debut and the form around Sundance. So that's obviously the key runner to watch in the previous race. If he runs well, then I'll be even more confident with River Racer. She drew wide and got back at her first start, hit the line hard. She can settle much closer from barrier 1. 2, The Last Kiss, was heavily backed and was really impressive on debut. 4, Our Cinderella, ran second to her. 6 is Serena's Pride, the Gay Waterhouse Visitor, and Zalady's Night Out may even start favourite, and she's just outside of my 4.
Race 7 at Doomben is the third of the black type events. It is the Star Liquor Gold Edition Plate over 1200 metres listed level.
Yeah, with number 13, My Girl Hayley, opened up around $7. In early markets, Tony Golan's got a strong hand. He's got Secret Saga as well, and most important, but I think My Girl Hayley is the one. She sat wide against the males first up and was really brave running third. I know he had ambitions to send this filly south for the spring carnival, but he just eased up after her first prep, gave her a bit of time off, and she resumed with that really good effort. think she'll be hard to beat from a good draw. 8 Secret Saga for second, 9 Madotti for third, and 12 Stick With Me, who's beaten older horses at both runs this time in, could be the value.
And the last of the black type events at Doomben on Saturday, race 8, the Jones Retail Loch Nay Stakes. And my research department had the week off. I'm not actually sure that is how you pronounce that. But this one, 1350 metres and $175,000.
Peace Force for me. Tipped her in the Festival Stakes. She looked home and just the last little bit, she got a bit tired over the 1500. Gerald Ryan abandoned Epsom plans, came back in trip to the 1350s, found a really nice race for her. As that last run shows, she can be competitive against the boys. 7 Miss Cover Girl was awful first up. She pulled up with issues. Much, much better than that. She can improve. 8 Gundy Spirit looks just about ready. And 2 Fontalina was a good run last time out. My best for the meeting is Soldi Damani, race 6, number 10. Really good return over the 1,000 in a fast run race. 1,200 suits in better. And my value was River Racer in race 5.
Melbourne Racing returns to Flemington on Saturday for a 9-race card. Joel, what did you like there?
I made Crimson Cape my best, race 6, number 5. I think he's a progressive staying type. He went to the SA Derby last prep, didn't do any good, but I think he's come back in pretty good form. He improved nicely third up with the step up in trip, and he's going to be really hard to beat. And my value is race 3, number 8. He took his Zarsho. He impressed first up. He looked good at the jump outs, and he ran right up to that. I think he can go on with the job.
Best bet, Black Jag, race 5, number 3. Thought the run last Saturday at Sandown was really good. It pushed forward. It was 3 wide early. The pace was quite solid. He took the sit off the leading pair. And then at the 350, he looked in a bit of trouble, but he really raised a strong second effort in the straight. And the only horse that beat him in the end was Electric Fusion, who sat back last and swooped home over the top. Black Jag is a noted 2,000 metre performer to 2,500, and that last start run on Saturday was over the mile, so I think third up they'll just top it off nicely on the quick back up at Flemington, and I can see Black Jag stringing a few wins together this campaign. God is the best bet, and the value comes up as the New Boy, which is a horse that I'm rather fond of, race 7, number 8. He always gives his best, and I thought his win at Geelong 2 starts ago was very good after leading throughout over Kingdom of Dreams, who he meets here again. And then last time at Rose Hill, he led them up. He got no peace in the lead, and he was quite brave, only finishing 2.5 lengths behind Happy Clapper, who, as we touched on earlier, is one of the leading chances in the Villiers Stakes. So the New Boy, around about $11, is the value bet.
I'm going against Carl for my best, which is race 7, number 1, Tash B. Got the good Malaguera form, just busting to win this campaign. Second in a group 3 last start, up to 60 kilos, but Dylan Dunn takes 3 off. I think Tash B should be winning. And I'm up against Joel with my value bet, which is Trendsetter. Beat Sammy the Snake a couple of starts ago, and not disgraced last time. I think it's a wide open race, and I think each way. And race 6, number 4, Trendsetter. Morfordville, they are racing on the Parks track, Carl. Mm-hmm. And gee, there must be some real value here because you've gone early. You've gone in race 5, number 5, Double Pockets, round about the $14 mark.
Yeah, $14 mark in our paper, real odds are taked. But just really desperate because finding something at a decent price was a bit hard in the later races. I thought Double Pockets was really good last Saturday in the City of Marion. It got back in the field. It was held up for clear running in probably the first half of the straight, and then that last 150 metres it got clear and really hit the line hard to be beaten 3 lengths by Lord Aspen. Double Pockets, a bit of a unknown at the trip. It's had one start at 1400 for a second, but this is certainly the toughest assignment that Double Pockets has faced over this distance. But ridden cold and saved for one last crack at them, I think he'll be hard to beat. And the value bet that comes up in race number
8.
8
and number 4, Mr. Liberty.
Oh yeah,
sorry, this is your best.
That's my best. Yeah, Mr. Liberty. He was really good at Ballarat last time, wasn't he? He got back and he flushed home out wide. It was very hard to make grounds away from the inside fence that day, and I guess he draws the car park, which is a small point of concern, but he's just got lengths on the opposition. Have something on the 5 Presidium, who is first up from a spell, but I think can run a cheeky race at around about 33-1.
Alrighty, Joel, Ascot, they're having their sort of off week. They 1 week on, 1 week off, which is a reasonable way, I think, to organise it, because it means your good horses can go 1 week and and then they can back up a fortnight later, and in between you have your bread and butter stuff. And it's bread and butter stuff on Saturday. You're waiting for race three at 5:09 Eastern to give us our best, and that is number one, Who Dat Singin'.
Yes, he was placed in the Fairetha Stakes two runs back, and then last time out he drew the outside gate in the WA Guineas, pressed forward and just did a bit too much work and dropped out. Still has to prove himself at the mile, but I think from a good draw and in this lesser company he can on Saturday. And my value is Cougar Express, race six, number six. He's had the two runs back from a bit of a break. Both of them have been good. He won over this distance at Belmont just before going for a spell, and he looks ready to strike winning form again.
All right, well, there's plenty of action. That wraps up a big Saturday. No, it doesn't, because, of course, we haven't been to New Zealand yet, Joel.
Yes, across the Tasman, and some race, some really good racing action starting to heat up over there as they build towards their Christmas and New Year carnivals. We've got Tarapa on Saturday, who have three black type races. My best comes up in one of the benchmark races. It's Snow Secret, race five, number four, a 4-year-old mare. We saw her in Australia last season in a couple of nice races. She's come back in good order. Strong winner at Ellerslie last start. The 2400 looks ideal. My value is in the group two Kalazuzu Stakes. This is the weight for age race for the mares, and Pippi Beale from the Baker Forsman Yard. She's out of her class a little bit just on ratings, but she's coming through the classes nicely, and I think she can measure up and run a really good race at odds. The other meeting is Awapuni. My best is World Class, race three, number seven. Two runs back have been really good. Looks ready to break through third up. And my value is Tavidar, race two, number five. Promising stayer by Tavistock. He wound up strongly with a long sweeping run to win last start. I think he can go on with the job.
All right, well, that does wrap up Saturday, but it's a big weekend, and it starts on Friday. It goes through Friday night, where we've got full form in Winning Post for both Moonee Valley and Canterbury, as well as Fields for Sunshine Coast Friday night. So do make sure you pick up your Winning Post this week. And we go through to Sunday, where apart from the Australian racing, of course, we've got Hong Kong. But quickly, Carl, let's just wrap up the TAB Werribee Cup. Listed race over 2,600, worth 120,000, and Sontag set to step out as favourite.
Wow, you're kidding, aren't you? I mean, tall ship, not favourite?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. In Winning Post, Sontag is about $3.
I mean, tall ship's runner-up in the Sandown Classic at Wade for Age. Sontag ran third in a Sandown Cup last time, didn't he, in 3200?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully this podcast doesn't get back to Shane Hansen, one of the part owners of Sontag, but if I was a bookie, I'd have tall ship almost close to even money, and he'll be awfully hard to beat. I honestly can't see much beating him. Swazadelic and Sontag, I guess they'll stay all day. And Imperial Lass has been running all right races. It ran ninth in the Matriarch and was a better run last time behind Master Zephyr and finishing second. But, gee, I think tall ship's in a class of his own. Doubtless Star, race seven, number seven. Got a lot of time for him. Think he'll be a nice horse to watch over the future weeks. And Diamond Baroness in the last. Damien Thorne combines with his father, draws barrier two. It's second up from a spell. It was a nice run first up, and they're probably the ones I'd be watching on Werribee Cup Day.
All right, well, Werribee Cup Day morphs into Hong Kong Cup Day later in the afternoon. At 5 o'clock Eastern is the first of the four international races. That's the Longines Hong Kong Vase, over 2,400 metres, and in that race, and indeed in a couple of these races, Joel, refreshingly enough, Australia does have a few chances. We've been basically giving this meeting a miss pretty much in recent years. We've got slightly more representation this year, but no doubt you've done the form on all the runners from around the globe. What have you come up with?
Yeah, well, we've got three of last year's winners backing up this year, trying to defend their titles, and the first of those is Flincher. The Andre Farb trained galloper who won the Hong Kong Vase last year. He's been in great form this year. He's had a grade one win in the US, finished second in the ARC again. So look, he looks to be in top form and ready to go back to back. I would have thought he'd be very hard to beat. 11 Highland Reel, of course, we saw him in Australia run a placing in the Cox Plate behind Winks. He's So we know how good he is. Helene Happy Star might be one of the locals. Joe Moreira, John Moore, he's drawn nicely in gate five, might be the best of the locals. And Preferment, I've thrown in for fourth, obviously on his best form. 2400 is probably his best distance. Sort of that, you know, we didn't really see him at that trip in the spring. They kept him fresh for the 2000 Cox Plate, and then he went straight to the 32 for the Cup. But you'd think 24, probably his best distance. So I went 1.11.7.4. The Hong Kong Sprint, I'm with the Japanese runner Straight Girl, number 14. She's come up with a bad gate, which is going to be a bit tricky, but she drew wide last year and ended up getting a pretty good run, and she was really good finishing third. She's been in good form in Japan this time in. One Gold Funds, the short favourite. He won the lead up to this race, beating Peniophobia. I think they're certainly the favourites in the betting, and they look the main dangers. And Nine Green Mask had a bit of a foot issue this week, but he's trained by Wesley Ward in America, and he can travel his horses really well, and he's built up a pretty good record. My numbers in the sprint are 14.169. The Hong Kong Mile, well, Able Friend, he's going to be a dominant favourite. He was beaten second up, just got too far back. He was absolutely brilliant first up over a short trip. If he finds his best, he should be too good. But the Japanese visitors are well worth respecting, Fiero and Maurice. And Mondialist, didn't mind this horse's effort in the Breeders' Cup Mile. Should have finished a lot closer to the winner. He got held up and sort of only got clear with about 100, 150 metres or so to go. The Hong Kong Cup, of course, we've got Criterion and Lucia Valentina representing Australia and New Zealand. I've thrown in Criterion for fourth, but I'm with the Dermot Well-trained Free Eagle. Very good horse. He finished sixth in the Arc last start. Before that, he was knocked over by Arc winner Golden Horn. And should have finished a lot closer to him that day and finished third, and perhaps should have really pushed him up for the interference. One Design's on Rome for second. He won this last year, but comes into this second up, so I guess the fitness is the query. Seven Stefanos from Japan for third, and as I said, Criterion for fourth. But a really good day of racing, and hopefully the Australasian reps can do us proud.
And there's a lot of former Aussies there as well. The horses have just scribbled down to the bottom of the page. Worth is having his local debut over there. You've got horses. El Malad hasn't been seen since last year's Cox Plate. He's stepping out in that last race up against the likes of Eclair Big Bang and Hong Kong Captain. Divine Calling goes around, looks like the cat Worth. There's so many great former Aussie horses. It just must dilute the pool of our local racing to have so many great horses race over there. But it's good to see. The only thing I'd like to add is that Criterion's drawn barrier 13, the 14 in the Cup, so that might make things a little bit tricky for him. And the one horse I do like in the Cup is Freeport Lux. Freddie Head trains, and it's got nice form through Gallo Chop.
Alrighty, well, that wraps up a huge weekend of racing right throughout the Eastern Hemisphere, and leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. Just $5, all your favourite features, form Friday night, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And finally, our best $20 bet for the weekend. I will kick us off with Flemington Race 7, number 1, Tash B, 20 win. Joel?
Well, better save a little cash for Hong Kong Sunday. We'll go Free Eagle in the Hong Kong Cup.
Okay, race 8, number 2. I'll go Royal Randwick, Zanbar. Race 7, number 14, 10 each way. And this is the Villiers.
Alrighty, we'll have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. We'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.